grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin talking about our epistle text for today by reading you the verse that immediately precedes it. Verse 20. He says, St. Peter says, "What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Right, now, what Peter is saying, and we have all experienced this, sometimes we do wrong and we suffer for it. And sometimes we do right and we suffer for it. And Peter says, what good is it for you if you do wrong and suffer for your wrongs? But when you do well and suffer for it, this is acceptable with God. All right? In other words, you and I are called to do well. That is, to be faithful to the Lord. To do those things which are right and good in accordance with the Word of God, and to avoid those things which are contrary to the Word of God. And so, he says, when you do well and suffer for it, this is acceptable with God. All right? And then he goes on, and this is where our epistle text begins. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called." You are a Christian because you were called into the kingdom of grace. This happened to you when you were baptized and Jesus received you as his own and placed his name upon you, and you were enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this status as a blood-washed, born-again child of God has been nurtured in you by means of the word of the gospel and the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ all the days of your life, so that despite your faults, despite your temptations, despite yourself, you are still a believing Christian, and you still hunger and thirst for the clear, cool waters of God's Word and His wonderful grace. So you are called. Now listen, a part of that calling is that you do well and take your lumps for it. Alright? As a Christian, the Bible says, listen, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, you may not be fed to the lions. The persecution that you endure may be nothing more than the scorn of those either in your family, among your friends, or your colleagues at work. Right? But persecution is persecution, whether it's little persecution or bigger. Right? And so here, part of our calling as Christians is that we do well, stand up and be counted for Jesus, confess the word of God boldly and clearly with your lips and with your life, and let the chips fall where they may. For he even here unto were ye called. And then St. Peter goes into how Christ's suffering is an example for us. He says this, because Christ also suffered for us. And I'll get that word for us. I'll come back to that. He suffered for us, leaving us an example. Now, we Lutherans get all shivery in the knees whenever we hear talk like that, that Christ's suffering was an example for us. That sounds almost Methodist. That sounds almost Episcopalian. That doesn't sound very Lutheran, you know. We don't like to encourage people to think of Jesus' suffering as an example, but it is, right? It is. How so? He did no sin. Jesus did not get crucified because he sinned. He was the holy, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He died for us in our place, not for his own sins. So he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He spoke no lie nor any deceit. Who, when he was reviled, spoken evil of, he reviled not again. He did not return insult for insult. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So that is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ for us to follow in his steps. Right? It says here, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. That means that we should turn away from sin, that we should speak the truth and no deception, that we should not get back at those who attack us, and that we do not threaten those who cause us suffering, but that in all of these things, we commit ourselves to God who judges righteously. All right? And so we Christians, in our conduct in the world, we follow the footsteps of Jesus by endeavoring to do right according to the word and to let God be the judge. Now, it's obvious that we're not so good at this, right? And so if the sermon were to end there, you'd all go home with your knuckles dragging on the ground, going, well, I guess there's no hope for me. Because every time I want to do good, evil lies close at hand. And every time I want to be strong, something catches me off guard, and I end up being weak. And every time I should keep my mouth shut and commit my cause unto God, I feel that incredible compulsion to get the last word and to say something rude or to say something insulting. Make sure I get my due, right? And so we're not so good at this, following in the footsteps of Jesus. Why? Because his obedience to his Father was perfect and sinless. And he wasn't doing these things for himself. He was doing them for us. Yes, they are a pattern for us to endeavor wholeheartedly to follow. But when we endeavor wholeheartedly to follow, and we discover our weaknesses and our sins, it is to be praised and God be thanked that that's not all that this text tells us. It doesn't only speak of Jesus as our example, But it also speaks of Jesus as our shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And therefore, let's notice very carefully that Christ, in verse 21, Christ suffered for us. That means He suffered and died on the cross in our place, in our stead. And He doesn't only say that, but skipping down a few verses to verse 24, He says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. See that? That should be emblazoned in your mind from henceforth, that Jesus, He bore your sins in His own body. You see, this could only happen if the man Jesus was also the Son of God. Alright? As the man Jesus, He could stand in your place and suffer death on your behalf. And as God, He could do such a miraculous thing as bear your sins. That means even the sins you haven't committed yet. Right? You know the sins you're anticipating committing on Wednesday? They're covered. Alright? That doesn't mean you should be blasé about it. But they're covered. Why? Because all the sins of mankind were born in the body of Jesus, and He paid for them in full. He paid for them in full, and that is so important for us to understand that the suffering of Jesus is an example to us. But it isn't just an example, it is a treasure and a comfort to us in our weakness. Because sometimes the harder we try to be faithful disciples, the more we seem to mess up. And we will never discover that our victory lies in ourself. Our victory always lies in Jesus. And in Jesus alone, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And what's the result of that? The result of His bearing your sins is that now you, the baptized children of God, you are dead to sin. And what does that mean? It means that the devil can squeal all he wants to about your sins and your failings. But the blood of Jesus cancels out your sins. It cancels them out. Every time the devil wants to lift up your faults and your sins and rub them in your snoot, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin and sets you free. And you can wiggle your fingers at the devil and send him on his way frustrated. Why? Because you are dead to sin. Your sins have been washed away. Sin has no power over you. Because through faith in Christ, you have the victory over sin, death, the world, and the devil. So he says that the result of Christ bearing your sins is that now you are dead to sin. And you should live unto righteousness. Since sin no longer has dominion over you, live for righteousness. But always remember, in your endeavor to live righteously, that it is by His stripes that you are healed. You are healed. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are covered by the stripes that Jesus bore in order to pay for your sins. His suffering, His death, His burial is your eternal salvation. And so, by His stripes you are healed. And then he gives us a brief little before and after shot. You were as sheep going astray. That's what you were. When you were a little baby and you were born a straying sheep. You were not a child of God. You were not among the redeemed. And then Jesus claimed you as his own in the waters of holy baptism and has all these years kept you in his grace and in his promise through the ministry of the gospel and the sacrament of the altar. You were as sheep going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus is the shepherd of your soul. He is your protection. He is your guidance. He is your very life and sustenance, just as Psalm 23 says. And he is also the bishop of your soul. That is the overseer. He comes to you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. And he visits you in order to grant you these things as a free gift of grace and salvation. So Jesus is the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. You were as sheep going astray, but now you are returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls, so that you may rejoice in your redemption and take comfort in it. And then in that comfort, you may endeavor to follow the example of Christ and to do well, even if you have to suffer for it. Take it patiently, because God is the one who judgeth righteously, and in the end, every believing Christian will be vindicated. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.